Imagine these really ambitious projects, right? Everything from, say, building a new nuclear power plant to launching some complex software. They all face this fundamental challenge. How do you actually make sure things get done efficiently? And crucially, how do they stay aligned with the big picture, the organization's strategy? Well, this is exactly where something called project governance comes in. Now, it might sound a bit dry, maybe even bureaucratic, but honestly, it's kind of the secret ingredient behind not just project success, but hitting your whole organization's strategic goals. Today, we're really, well, getting into the weeds of project governance. As we look through the material for this deep dive, it became pretty clear that this field has been, frankly, a bit fragmented. You find all these different definitions, different approaches. It can actually create more confusion sometimes.
And that's exactly what we're aiming to untangle today. What's really fascinating, I think, is how getting clear on this concept can directly impact your ability to actually see projects through, getting them to those intended strategic outcomes. So we're going to unpack these different viewpoints, look at the surprising origins of some of these ideas, and show how different kinds of projects really demand different ways of governing them.
Okay, so let's kick things off with the core question.
Yeah.
What is project governance? It's a term you hear thrown around a lot in business, but our research really shows there's a significant lack of consensus on what it actually means. It's still seen as a budding field, which is kind of surprising.
It really is. And the word governance itself, it actually comes from the Latin gubernare, which means steering. So broadly, it's about the direction and control of activities within a certain domain. Think corporate governance, IT governance, even national governance. It's fundamentally about setting the rules and keeping things on course.
That makes sense, steering. But this brings up a really common point of confusion I hear all the time. What's the difference between project governance and project management? Aren't they kind of the same thing? That line seems pretty blurry for a lot of folks.
Oh, that's a critical distinction. And yeah, one our sources really stress. Think of it like this. Project management, that's focused on the day-to-day, the execution, the control at the project level, getting specific tasks done, on time, within budget.
Right, the doing.
Exactly. Project governance, on the other hand, it operates at a higher level. It provides the oversight. It defines the environment, the frameworks for project decisions, making sure those decisions align with the bigger organizational objectives and, importantly, stakeholder interests. We even found one definition calling it the management of project management. That really hits home that higher level view.
Okay. So it oversees the management.
Precisely. And to take that a bit further, something like project control, which people often think of, that's actually just a subset of project governance. Project control is mostly about, validating, verifying completed tasks within the project. But governance, its scope is much broader. It extends across the entire project lifecycle and even beyond.
So it's definitely not just about one single project then. It sounds more like this cascading responsibility throughout an organization.
Exactly right. Project-related governance happens at multiple levels. It sort of filters down from the very top, from corporate governance, down to portfolio, program, and then individual project levels. Sometimes people call this whole structure P3 governance. And while the specific goals and scope get narrower at each step down, the main purpose stays the same: define what projects should achieve, provide the means, and control the progress. You see professional bodies like PMI and APM mapping out these different levels pretty clearly.
But even with that mapping, as we saw, there are still these wide variations in how project governance gets defined in the literature. Like you mentioned some early thinking, Turner and Symister back in 2001 saw it really narrowly, almost just as a type of contract, like from an economics
Yeah,
angle.
very focused. But then you see the thinking evolve.
Right, like Ruska and colleagues in 2009 had a much broader take principles for handling stakeholders, documentation, communication, contracts, the works. And Miller in 2009 talked about it, including a value system, responsibilities, processes, policies. And then McGrath and Witte tried to boil it down in 2015, a system by which a project is directed and controlled and held to account. Pretty concise.
You can definitely see that evolution and, yeah, the diversity. But even with all those differences, you start seeing common themes pop up again and again. Things like frameworks for making decisions, addressing stakeholder interests, keeping an eye on progress, defining what success really looks like for this project. And the big one, aligning projects with the organization's strategy. That comes through consistently.
Okay, so as we were digging into all this research, something really fascinating jumped out. It wasn't just one single idea of project governance. It was almost like two distinct schools of thought running in parallel. And understanding that difference, that's where things really start to click. What were these two streams?
Well, the first stream tends to look at project governance as something external to any specific project. So in this view, governance is an activity that's sort of imposed by the larger organization, maybe a project-based firm, onto its individual projects.
Imposed from above.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Its main purpose is to set standards or rules that all projects have to follow and then, you know, monitor compliance. The focus here is really on aligning the goals of all the different projects happening at the same time with a parent organization's goals, both short-term and long-term. Projects are basically seen as vehicles, tools to execute the parent strategies.
Okay, so the organization dictates the terms.
Right. And a key concept here is what they call the principal-agent relationship. Think of the organization as the principal and the project manager as the agent. A common challenge, the agency problem, is that the project manager might, maybe unintentionally, prioritize their project's immediate needs or even their own interests over the bigger organizational goals.
How do you stop that?
Well, the solution in this view usually involves implementing standardized reporting, clear roles, monitoring structures, things to align everyone's interests, and to make sure resources are prioritized effectively across the whole portfolio of projects. This is often how large organizations try to oversee all their project work.
Okay, so that's one lens. The organization imposing governance downwards. What's the other side of the coin?
The other side views project governance as internal to a specific project. Now, this stream starts from a different place. It assumes that unique projects often need tailored, not standardized governance setups.
Tailored, okay.
Yeah. Its purpose is more about defining shared practices for managing, coordinating, adapting all the different exchanges that happen between the various firms involved in that specific project. You know, you might have the main company, plus contractors, suppliers.
Lots of players.
Exactly. And here, the project itself is seen as a pretty powerful organizational actor in its own right.
Uh-huh.
The main job of governance is to set up shared rules and procedures for everyone involved in that specific project. This view really fits well with the idea of projects often acting like temporary organizations.
Temporary organizations, right. Makes sense.
And a key feature here is seeing the project as this nexus of interdependent economic transactions between legally separate firms. These firms might even have conflicting goals, short-term or long-term. So governance here is about putting shared coordination, control, and safeguarding mechanisms in place to align all these diverse interests towards a joint goal, like, say, constructing a new building together. It really emphasizes that the governance structure needs to fit both the project's internal capabilities and any external regulations. Things like discussions on contract types, fixed price versus cost. Plus, those are good examples of this kind of internal governance mechanism in action.
Wow, that's a really fundamental difference in perspective. So these two distinct views, external versus internal, where did they actually come from? What were the sort of intellectual origins?
That's a great question. The answer is pretty interesting. If we first look at general governance literature, you know, outside the project world, it draws really heavily from transaction cost economics, or TCE. That's the theory mainly from Oliver Williamson back in the 70s. TCE basically looks at how to manage economic exchanges efficiently when there's uncertainty, when you need specific investments, or when people just don't have all the information, what they call bounded rationality.
Trying to avoid problems like moral hazard or adverse selection.
Exactly. Those kinds of issues.
Yeah.
It also pulls from corporate governance literature, like foundational work by Jensen and Meckling on the owner-agent relationship in companies.
Mm.
And other core ideas in general governance include things like, well, people might act opportunistically, our ability to process information is limited, and that our social context matters who we trust, who we work with. And of course, legal frameworks shape everything too.
Okay, so those are the broad influences. Now, how do they connect specifically to project governance? What did the research show about the roots of those two streams we talked about? Because you mentioned a surprising lack of overlap.
It's true. The roots were quite separate paths. The external project governance stream, the one focused on the organization imposing standards, that largely grew out of the project management discourse itself. Its main influences are things like the guides from professional bodies, like the APM guide, foundational project management handbooks, research on general project success factors. It's very much rooted in how the practice of project management developed.
Okay, so born from within project management.
Right. But then the internal project governance stream, the one focused on tailoring governance for specific, often multi-firm projects. That has a really significant and direct link back to transaction cost economics. It pulls heavily from TCE. It also draws from specific project research, especially on complex products and systems, and also from project management bodies of knowledge like PMIs.
So one stream is more from PM practice, the other much more from economic theory and managing complex relationships. Fascinating.
Yeah, the divergence in their theoretical underpinnings really explains a lot about why the field looks the way it does, varied, sometimes a bit fragmented.
Like two different intellectual rivers feeding the same lake, as you said.
Yeah.
All right. So with those different theoretical roots in mind, what does project governance actually look like on the ground in the real world? Our sources talked about various forms or specialized areas of governance that pop up frequently in project contexts.
Yeah, there are several key ones. First, you often see contractual and relational governance. These are usually based on that transaction cost economics idea.
Yeah.
They're kind of complementary, using formal contracts. That's the contractual part. And then relying on informal, trust-based relationships. That's the relational part. Both are used to manage exchanges, try to curb opportunistic behavior, minimize transaction costs. You see this a lot in construction projects, for example.
Contracts and trust working together. Okay. Yep.
Then there's information technology governance, or IT governance, and specifically IT project governance. These are more specialized frameworks. IT governance provides oversight for the overall IT strategy, bridging from corporate governance. IT project governance focuses more on selecting the right IT investments and making sure IT projects align with the organization strategy, often managed at that organizational project management or OPM level.
Makes sense for tech-heavy organizations. What else?
We also see public-private partnership governance, or PPP governance. This form is specifically about the right structures, procedures, instruments for directing and controlling those big PPP projects and programs, particularly in infrastructure development, where government and private companies team up.
Right. Those complex partnerships need their own rules.
Definitely. Then there's network governance. This draws from network theory, but also TCE. It recognizes that many projects, especially big ones, are really complex networks. Networks of internal and external organizations, stakeholders. So it argues for governance mechanisms that operate at that network level, especially for large and mega projects involving lots of different players.
Governing the whole web, not just the pieces.
Exactly. And a couple of newer concepts that are emerging. One is benefits governance. This is based more on agency theory and institutional theory. It really emphasizes the linked responsibilities of roles like the senior responsible owner, the SRO, project management, and the person who owns the benefits. The idea is to integrate benefits realization management right into the governance system to make sure the expected outcomes actually happen.
Not just finishing the project, but getting the value.
Precisely. And finally, another recent one is knowledge governance. This draws from TCE again, but also knowledge-based theories. It focuses on directing and controlling how knowledge flows and is used both within projects and between different projects. It pushes for a more proactive approach to setting and hitting knowledge goals.
Okay, wow. So what's the big takeaway from all these different forms? It's clearly not just one thing, is it?
Not at all. There's no single monolithic project governance. It's definitely a multifaceted system, and it needs to adapt.
Which brings us to the really crucial question, I think. You might be sitting there thinking, okay, this is all very interesting theory, but what does it actually mean for my organization's strategy?
Yeah.
And this is where project governance becomes, well, potentially a real game changer. It's the critical link, right?
It absolutely is. Projects are increasingly recognized not just as, you know, tools for executing strategy, but also as potential sources of emergent strategic insights. New ideas, new directions that pop up during the project itself.
Learning as you go.
Exactly. But, and this is a big but highlighted in our research, there's a crucial gap. There's surprisingly limited practical guidance on how that organizational strategy actually gets translated down to the project level, and even less on how project governance specifically helps with that translation and implementation. We found the striking statistic only about 65% of organizations reported high alignment of their projects to strategy, according to PMI data from 2018.
65%. Wow, that means over a third might be pulling in slightly the wrong direction, or at least not optimally aligned. That's huge.
It's a significant potential misalignment, yeah.
But, okay, some important guidelines do exist for how project governance can enable strategy. What are they?
Well, first off, it starts with selecting the right projects. Portfolio management is usually the first checkpoint for strategic alignment, making sure you're investing in the best mix of projects that actually contribute to your strategic objectives.
Makes sense. Choose wisely.
Then it's about translating strategy. The governance system, and especially the role of the project sponsor, acts as this vital link. They facilitate a two-way exchange value propositions going down from top management. Reality is coming back up from project management, defining the project strategy in line with the bigger organizational one.
That sponsor role sounds key.
Hugely important. Third, you need ways of breaking down strategy. Using tools like the balanced scorecard, maybe RACI matrices or benefits dependency networks, things that help turn high-level strategic goals into concrete, actionable project objectives that people can actually work towards.
Getting practical.
Right. Fourth, it's about defining the organizational structure around the project. Governance decides things like, is this project part of a larger program? Are we using specific methodologies? How much autonomy does the project team have? And it clearly defines all the roles and responsibilities within both the governance system and the project management system. Clarity is crucial.
Everyone knows their part.
And finally, maybe most importantly, aligning decisions and realizing benefits. Project governance has to constantly check. Are the decisions being made on this project still aligned? Aligned with both the project's objectives and the broader organizational strategy. And it has to assign clear responsibility for actually realizing the benefits later on. Plus, continuously monitor the project's business case. Is it still valid? Is it still delivering value?
So it's an ongoing process, not just set up and forget.
Absolutely not. But even with these guidelines, there are real challenges. There's often that inherent difference in perspective, you know, between top management and the folks on the ground. Many projects are just fragmented, network-based, spanning multiple organizations. That makes alignment tricky.
Yeah, coordinating across boundaries.
And the temporary nature of projects can make pursuing long-term strategy difficult. Plus, just measuring a project's contribution accurately is hard, especially when the benefits might only show up long after the project's finished, and strategy itself keeps changing.
It's a dynamic picture. So it's clear governance is vital, especially for big, risky projects. But there's a caution too, right? Being too rigid can backfire.
Exactly. Standard, rigid, one-size-fits-all governance models can actually stifle a project's ability to learn, adapt, respond to unexpected things. It really is a balancing act. The key word that kept coming up is tailoring. You have to tailor the system.
Which brings us neatly to the big payoff question. How do you tailor project governance to your specific needs? This feels like the crucial aha moment.
Yeah.
Because our sources were crystal clear. A one-size-fits-all approach just flat out won't work here.
Absolutely right. This is where the thinking shifts. Optimal governance isn't determined by just the organization's general characteristics, but by the specific characteristics of the project itself. And the key factors for tailoring seem to be the type of relationship or relationships between the funding organizations.
The ones paying the bills and setting the goals.
Right. And the performing organization, the ones actually doing the work. And specifically for the funding organization, two dimensions are critical. First, how much direct control do they have over project decisions? And second, what's their capability to accurately evaluate the project work as it happens?
And focusing on the funding organization's perspective makes sense because they're defining the investment objectives. They're often the main beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Though, obviously, you still have to consider other stakeholders for overall success.
Precisely. So based on those dimensions, control and evaluation capability, our sources outline three sort of generic project structures. Each needs a different governance flavor.
Okay, let's break this down. What's type I?
Type I is projects led by a single organization. Think about, say, your internal IT department building a new software feature just for your own company's use. Here, one single entity is both funding and performing the work. Projects might be totally internal or maybe involve a few minor suppliers on the side.
So mostly in-house.
Mostly in-house. The key thing is the funding organization has complete, or very nearly complete, direct control. This gives them huge flexibility to change things, even stop the project, based on shifting strategic priorities. They're assumed to have full access to all the project info.
Okay. What are the main challenges there, then, if they have all the control?
Well, the challenges are often internal politics managing the complex interplay of interests between different business units, making sure senior management stays engaged, and ensuring that timely, relevant information actually gets to the people who can make the decisions. Theories like stewardship theory, empowering the project team, and stakeholder theory, managing all those internal interests, are really relevant here.
Right. Internal alignment is key. What's type two?
Type two is projects led by a dyad or triad of organizations. This is probably the most common setup people think of. Imagine a company, the client, hiring an external contractor to build something, or commissioning a marketing agency for a campaign. That's the dyad, funder and performer.
Client and contractor.
Exactly. Now, if the funder doesn't have the in-house expertise to really evaluate the contractor's work, they might bring in a consultant. Then you have a triad, funder, performer, consultant.
Okay.
Here, the funder gives up a lot of that direct control, often for the perceived efficiency of contracting out. So control becomes indirect managed through contracts and relationships. Flexibility to just make unilateral changes is reduced, though things like agile methods are partly a response to regain some of that.
And there's that information issue again, right? The contractor often knows more.
Big time. The performing organization usually has more information, more expertise. This creates potential for, well, opportunistic behavior, an agency problem again. Mm-hmm. So that's why consultants get involved to mitigate that information asymmetry. A really crucial role here is the project owner from the funding organization. They become the single point of accountability for the business case, for making sure benefits happen.
So the main challenges:
aligning everyone's interests, managing those agency costs, curbing opportunism, making sure requirements and strategic priorities are communicated clearly, and setting up good oversight and reporting so the funder gets timely information. Theories like transaction cost economics for choosing contracts and contractors and agency theory for protecting the funder's interests are central here.
Okay, that covers a lot of ground. What about the third type?
Type three is projects led by a network of organizations. These are the really complex ones. Think major joint ventures between several large companies, or those big public-private partnerships, private finance initiatives, or large government projects involving multiple departments. These are often called multi-owned projects.
Multiple funders, multiple performers.
Exactly. Maybe consultants, too.
Right.
Here, control is inherently shared. All the partners have to adapt their own governance structures to work together. Individual organizations have much less flexibility to just change things on their own. Success really hinges on having a super clear, universally agreed business case from the start, plus really strong communication and a clearly defined single point of decision-making authority for the whole network. You absolutely need a single project or program owner to avoid finger-pointing later.
Managing that network sounds like the core challenge.
It really is. Managing both the contracts and the relationships is critical, making sure everyone gets accurate, identical information quickly, and understands the implications of decisions. So the primary governance challenges are things like choosing the right partnering approach, designing and maintaining these complex contracts and relationships, balancing partner representation on boards with actually being able to make decisions efficiently, and maybe most importantly, constantly balancing all the competing interests to keep everyone aligned with that shared vision. Sometimes specialized approaches like alliance contracting are used here. Relevant theories include network theory, stakeholder theory, TCE again for structuring things, and institutional theory for reconciling potentially different ways the partner organizations normally operate.
Wow. What an incredible deep dive into this really multifaceted world of project governance. It's so much clearer now that this isn't just some, you know, abstract academic idea. It's a living, breathing system that can genuinely make or break your most important initiatives.
That's absolutely right. We've hopefully clarified that distinction from project management. We've explored those two main streams of research, the external oversight view and the internal collaboration view, and we've uncovered their surprisingly different theoretical roots. But maybe the most important takeaway is that practical typology. It really demonstrates that effective project governance isn't one size fits all. It always has to be tailored to the specific project, its context, and those unique relationships involved.
Yeah, this whole discussion just underscores how valuable it is to look beyond the surface level. It really shows you that understanding the type of project you're dealing with, that's the absolute first step to setting up a governance system that genuinely supports your strategic goals and ensures those benefits you planned actually get realized, not just, you know, written down somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And that leads us to a final, maybe provocative thought for you, the listener, to consider. We know strategy is constantly evolving, and we know new insights often emerge during projects. So how might you, in whatever role you have, actively empower projects not just to execute the strategies decided beforehand, but also to generate and relay those valuable emergent strategic insights back up to the highest levels of your organization? That dynamic link, that feedback loop between the project's daily reality and the organization's strategic future, that feels like the next frontier for project governance, something definitely worth exploring further.